Welcome to The Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. And this is the NRL prelims preview pod. We had no best bets last week, no multi, but we did win the mixed matchup, $3.50 odds. We've won 68% of all mixed matchups this season at average odds, $2.50. Being crazy, we're still 2-0 on our best bets on NRL finals games that we have had. 61%, 60 and 38 on best bets across the whole season. If you'd add 100 on every mixed matchup and best bet, your profit is up over $3,200, which actually is back near the high point of the season that we were at before the horror run of best bets late in the regular season that you do know about. So, hey, if you had stuck in there the last 3 weeks, you've actually built back up virtually everything that we did hand back to the bookies in that period of time. And that's how punting goes. It's never a straight line. We have our ups and downs, but certainly so many more ups than downs this season. And I only agree backing the plays you agree on. I've got one best bet to share tonight and a mixed matchup and some cameo tips as well, so see which ones of these you're going to agree on. Now, I've already discussed everything that happened last weekend, which included an absolute classic of a finals encounter Saturday night. That was in my Sunday recap. Feel free to check that out if you haven't already after this, if you want more pod fix. Now, here we are, prelim finals. We have the best four teams of 2021 remaining, and I really do think all four still have a chance to win the comp. Now, you can look at the futures odds, the Storm just under $2, and I don't disagree with that. There is certainly a big chance that they're going to win this weekend and next. But you look at Souths, Penrith, Manly, each paying $5 to $6 on their best day. These sides can mix it with anybody, and certainly depending on what happens in the Storm Panthers final, if there's an upset there, then it completely opens the door for a Souths or a Manly to win the comp. And I'm going to talk about Penrith and Storm and whether I think there could be an upset. If you disagree with what I'm saying right now, and I think there'll be some people just saying, look, nobody's stopping Melbourne going back to back, you might be right. Please let me know in the comments, but also just consider taking that $1.85 about the Storm right now, because obviously if they win, I think they're going to be under $1.50 against, you know, regardless of their opponent in the grand final. And I think their opponent will be South Sydney. That's my best bet for the round. Going to take South Sydney -1.5, $1.90 on Sportsbet, next best $1.87 on Bet365. I think the value of having that week off is immense. You guys have heard me talk about that. Everyone's carrying Knox and Nichols this time of year. You can say, yes, Manly had a walk in the park last week against the Roosters, no injuries, no suspensions. But you go back to round 25, Souths rested 10 key players there when Manly played everybody, was still playing for top four. So you got Manly's best 17, has played three games in September. Souths have played just one. In addition to that, I think the mastermind Bennett really utilizes this two-week prep to integrate TAF and work on plays and work on execution. And that's the one weakness that you would call out in this South side. Obviously, a natural question mark since they've lost Latrell. I think that preparation time gives them an advantage to really patch up and bring TAF up to speed as much as possible. This is South's fourth straight prelim in 4 years, and they've lost the last three. Mind you, they didn't get the week off leading into those last three, so this one is a bit different, but I just think they're going to have ultimate motivation and focus. Sure, everyone's motivated this time of year, but I think they're just going to be so determined to right those wrongs, especially with Reynolds leaving the club. I don't think they want this to be his last game. In terms of the matchup against Manly, I'm going to dive into every aspect of the matchup later in this pod. I do think it's pretty balanced, for sure, looking at the strengths and weaknesses of both sides, but I still give the edge to the South's forward pack. And ultimately, I think South's Manly comes down to end of sets, which side builds pressure. And I will tip Adam Reynolds is going to outshine DCE with just a couple more key plays when they really need it. I don't think it'll be Reynolds' final game in red and green. I do also have a mixed matchup that I'm going to share, and I'll piggyback on South's being my bet of the round, and I'm going to link it with the AFL Grand Final. So look forward to that one as well. That's on this weekend, and it doesn't clash with the footy. It's on after the footy. We've got a couple friends, as I said, The Undertaker, The Podonis, and Nicole from Sport Tech Daily sharing some tips, which we'll get to. Before we jump into all those, as we do every week, let's jump onto the other side of the counter and hear from the bookies' point of view with Market Watch.
G'day Tripod family, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've got two big NRL games coming up where it's an absolute blockbuster on Friday night with South playing Manly. Big money early for Manly, and now the money's coming back South's way. It's an interesting one where 9 out of the last 10 teams that have had the week off have proceeded through to the grand final. So the money is indicating at the moment that South's are going to repeat that trend. Melbourne very short against Penrith. They've been back from $1.45 into $1.31. The line's gone from 6.5 out to 9.5, so a big move. Looking back at last week's results, the first game saw Manly comfortably dispose of the Roosters. That was an ordinary result at our end. The punters were all over Manly in that game, and they covered without too much difficulty. The other Penrith-Parramatta game, we won small on that game. If Parramatta had been able to cause the upset, it would have been a big result, but Penrith just got over the line in the end, so it was a cracking game. And now we move on to this week, where it's a tricky one to work out where Penrith actually sit. Obviously, they're down on troops. They've been battered around a little bit, but I thought the quality in that Panthers game was okay against the Eels. They defended well, but the market is certainly indicating Melbourne are going to put a number on Penrith on the weekend. And, if you match this side, the Panthers side, up against South Sydney, if they were to have been on the other side of the draw, I think the question would be different as to who had the week off. But if South had the week off and Penrith went over and played them, I think you'd find that maybe Penrith might be around about that 3.5 point favourite. It's a really, really tricky one to work out because there's so many hypotheticals. I think we saw that game when they played in week one where the line was up around that 10.5 mark, and South Sydney obviously got the result. Penrith aren't looking as good as what they were in the run in the final. So it's a tricky one to hypothetically work out. If they had a won and if they had been playing Manly in this week, what would the line be? I don't know. It might be around about that 6.5 point mark, I feel, if they had have had that week off. They're just my thoughts. I don't know how accurate they are, but it's all hypothetical at the moment, and I am a little bit biased being a Panthers fan as well. But cannot wait for the week ahead. I think Friday is going to be a beauty. I think Penrith are going to, if they can stick with Melbourne early, it's going to be an interesting game. But this is the time of the year all footy fans love. If you're having a bet, make sure you do it responsibly, and good luck over the weekend.
Thank you, Tristan. And I threw him that curly hypothetical question there of, if Penrith was on the other side of the draw, how much would that line have been adjusted? We had a 10.5 point favourite, Penrith, over South in week one. And I was actually wondering, because I think if Penrith played South this weekend, with the current circumstances, South's a week off, Penrith battered and bruised and with a few players under injury clouds, as they are as they go into the Melbourne game, I wouldn't have been surprised if almost South was a favourite, you know? And hearing Tristan say that Penrith could be -6 or so against Manly, I think it would have raised some eyebrows, because you'd argue that if Penrith was playing either of the other two teams remaining in the prelims, that they'd have a red hot shot. But obviously we get the grand final rematch on one side of the draw, but let's begin with the other prelim, which is every bit as intriguing. Souths against Manly. Souths are a slight favourite, 1.5 points. The total is 44.5. And when I say the line's 1.5, Souths favourite, and that is my best bet. You should also note, if you like Manly, a couple of bookies are at +2. So the +2 is available. So depending on which bookie you look, always shop around. Souths named their strongest possible 1-17, other than, of course, the suspended Latrell, but they copped no injuries, no suspensions from the side. That was exceptional in a 16-10 upset victory over Penrith in round one of the finals. Manly also didn't cop any injuries or suspensions in that game where they thumped the Roosters in Mackay last week, and they are able to name the same 1-17. Look, a super intriguing matchup, and I know plenty of you guys are going to be split on who you're tipping or who you're going to back in this game. I've already laid out all the rest advantages at the top because I really do think it's so significant. And even for a small sample size, I mean, you look at teams that underperformed in the finals so far. The Roosters didn't cover week one, thumped last week. Penrith hasn't covered a finals game. Manly thumped in week one of the finals. The Knights, you know, out first game. Those teams didn't rest everyone they could have in round 25. The teams that rested more players, I mean, the Storm rested some of their very best players in that final game. The Rabbitohs rested everyone. The Eels rested everyone. Those teams have covered the spread in every game they've played. Now, look, I'm cherry picking and that's a small sample size, but you know, over the years, I've always spoken about how the benefits you get from resting guys is always an advantage that outweighs what you may lose in losing form or sharpness that people worry about. I think it outweighs that, getting that rest if you can, because this is one of the most physical sports on the earth, to be fair. But beyond that, that rest advantage, let's look at the matchup. I think that's also going to divide opinion. Who is the better team? I think a lot of people will feel it's Manly. They've got the best player in the world. And when we see Manly firing on all cylinders, they have more firepower than the Rabbits without Latrell, certainly. But I go back to the point that I made in week one of the finals, which is Manly plays their best footy when they play against lesser opponents. Call them a bully, a flat track bully, if you like. Look, I don't dismiss Manly's ability. I've watched them destroy the Roosters, destroyed Parramatta a few weeks ago, destroyed the Titans, who are still a team that made the finals, beat all those sides 30 plus in the last few weeks, and they've put 50s on other teams like the Cowboys and the Dogs and stuff. And it's not a fluke that Manly puts up points like that. But it still goes back to my question mark. And I'm yet to be convinced that Manly can do that kind of thing and open up the very best defenses in the comp, especially in a game where they may not be winning the forward battle, as opposed to those other games where clearly Manly's forwards got on top. So one of the reasons I've actually been really high on Souths all year, and I've described South Sydney as a title threat all season, until I acknowledge I wrote them off from winning the grand final once Latrell got hurt. But one of the reasons I've really liked Souths, not just the spine, and you've got a spine that's got Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds, Damien Cook, right? But the forward pack of Souths is underrated. And as good as Isaiah Yeo has been for Penrith this year, and it was awesome for New South Wales, and I'm a huge fan of Jake Trbojevic, I look at this game on Friday night, and I think Cam Murray may be the best forward on the field at the end of the game. You've got like Jai Arrow and Tom Burgess, and Burgess had 200 metres off the bench against Penrith in week one. These guys are playing off the pine. It's a powerful pack that Manly's going to have to deal with. And look, of course, when Manly's at their best, Turbo's a nightmare. He's popping up everywhere, injecting himself into the game. He's got an unbelievable knack for knowing when to sniff out a quick play of the ball, sniff out a moment or momentum where he can really hurt the opposition. But I think Souths can limit that. Look, I'm not expecting Turbo limitation to the level that Melbourne did in stifling him in week one of the finals. But I still think Turbo can't just decide when his team wins or loses. You go back to, I think Origin 3 is a pretty good case study as well, where, you know, the Queensland forwards actually stood up to the Blues forwards and didn't get blown away in the middle of the park there. And Turbo was in that game, trying to do everything he could to help New South Wales win or sweep the series. But he could only do so much when the game was actually even, or probably arguably Queensland had the upper hand. And that's sort of just see this one being a bit similar to that, where I do think Souths will be have the upper hand. And I think Souths have been upgraded in my mind defensively off the performance in week one. That's not me saying Souths can defend like that every week and they're going to replicate it. And you might say Souths defense wasn't that great in week one of the finals. It's just Penrith's attack is not right. And there could be some truth to that. But at the end of the day, what I saw was the Souths were winning the contact. They were shutting down time and space of Penrith's playmakers. It was ultra impressive for me. And I've also spoken to how Manly is not a one-man team. Their attack is not all about Tom. They've got the ball playing forwards, especially back row and on their bench. That can challenge a defense all night. But I think that the Souths has a forward pack that can handle these guys. I also think Souths has the better defense of these two teams. And then you move to the spine. And look, of course, Souths don't have a Tom Trbojevic. No other footy team in the world does. But they've got Cody Walker. That's not that far off. This is a guy who's just had the most line break assists in a season in NRL history. You've got clearly the better hooker in Damien Cook. And the other edge that I mentioned in that Adam Reynolds, particularly his kicking game. And I think he's the kind of guy that would really, really benefit from having those couple of rests in the last 3 weeks. And he comes in here. I think he's got a kicking game that rivals Nathan Cleary for the best in the game. DCE's got a really sound kicking game too, especially long kicking. But that Reynolds short kicking game, I have that feeling that could be really key in this match as well. I'm going best bet Rabbitohs -1.5 at $1.90. Here's my mixed matchup. I'll jump straight into it. I'm still going to get to Storm Panthers, but I'll explain why I don't have a best bet for Melbourne versus Penrith. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my favourite player of the round being Souths. We're going to link it with the other big game Saturday night, which is the AFL Grand Final. I am no expert with AFL. Feel free to share how you feel about this one, depending on what you think of the market that I'm going to take in the AFL Grand Final. But I will say this, unusually this year, they're giving the Grand Final teams a 2-week break. So the prelims for the Grand Finals was 2 weeks ago. And similarly to NRL, that's really important in terms of energy levels. And what we've seen in the past with AFL Grand Finals, we've seen some blowouts produced where one team just simply runs out of petrol. I'm going to tip that we might get an edge this week, that extra week both AFL teams are getting, it's going to contribute to the intensity and the likelihood of a tight game. So I'm going to take the Rabbitohs to score more points than there are total goals in the AFL Grand Final. I know it's a hard one to wrap your head around, but if you just look at the market, Rabbitohs predicted to score about 22 points, and I do like the over. I like them to win the game, as I've said. I also think there's that chance you take the two any opportunity, even maybe a cheeky field goal by Reynolds or a two-point field goal late in either half. And the AFL Grand Final total goals is set at 22.5. So right there, we're a slight underdog. We also would lose if they land on the same number. And you might say it's not fun to bet on an AFL game under goals and cheer players to miss, but that's the way I believe we can get an edge there. We're getting $2.40 for this, and I think it is at least a 50-50, and you can have up to 200 on that on Top Sport. The promo code is TRIPOD. I do want to say cheers to everybody who has joined Top Sport this season. That's been one of the highlights for me, not only tipping you guys into a quality bookie that I feel really good about and I can genuinely recommend, but seeing everybody who has jumped on and who's backed all these tips that are custom made by me each week, and you've done really well, and I feel great about that. And let's move to Saturday night, the game I'm going to be at, or Saturday afternoon, I should say, at Suncorp as well. The grand final rematch, the Storm play the Panthers. The line is -9.5, Storm favoured. The total is 40.5. The Storm gets back at Okar. Brandon Smith was cleared of that facial fracture. He's good to go. This means Melbourne picks the strongest 17 they've had all year, in my opinion, and off a 15-day turnaround after demolishing Manly in week one of the finals. Luckily, we were on that for a best bet. Penrith far less convincing these finals, and of late, Mitch Kenny is out. Tyrone May is in. To'o didn't play last week. He's in the reserves. They say he's a chance to play. He's trying to recover from an ankle complaint. Edwards got through a mountain of work, got bashed against the Eels, was reportedly limping after the game, but he's cleared. He's named at fullback. Kikau was injured and didn't come back on against the Eels, but he is named, and they do say he's training towards likely to play. My guess is they all probably play because it's do or die. To'o would be the closest to 50-50. If To'o is not in, people will say it's a huge loss, but Naden is a very capable backup and a big body that helps with yardage, similar to To'o. Of course, it's a downgrade. I wouldn't play To'o if he's under 90%, so, you know, Penrith has to make the best call for them. Kikau is my bigger concern for Penrith. This is a guy, and again, it's an ankle injury, so it's like, yes, they can strap it to high heel, and they can needle if need be, and you can weight bear on a bad ankle, but the mobility, you see guys that are just clearly, they don't have that same pop and same burst, and if Kikau doesn't have that, he's the kind of guy that can change momentum in a game or create a match-winning play. And look no further than the time when Penrith beat the Storm earlier this season. It was Kikau's final play and final effort that was the only difference between the teams. And it just reduces the effectiveness of Penrith's left side attack if they're without Kikau. Or let's say if he plays, but he's ineffective. And that is certainly the risk. So that's the actual injury report. But I want to echo the point I made in my recap, which is that Eels-Panthers match was like a State of Origin intensity, physicality game, went down to the wire. So even beyond injuries, you can't ignore the cumulative fatigue and just pure bruising of 80 minutes of warfare that these Panthers players have had to endure. And specifically, I want to talk about Cleary, that shoulder discomfort that he's got. He's everything for this side. So, you know, if I'm going to make a big case for Souths, and part of the reason being that benefit of that rest, it's an even bigger advantage to the Storm because of how physical the last two Penrith matches have been. There is that real possibility that you have to acknowledge if you're going to back Penrith that they could run out of petrol, whether it's, you know, they already have or whether it happens towards the back end of this game. That's why I'm not going to be on Penrith. Yes, the line seems high. I was talking to Alex, you know, as we know, he's working at Ladbrokes and Neds now, and he's saying to me he couldn't believe how high this line was, even admitting he's not following it as closely. Because the truth is, between these two teams, when they're both at their best, this line would be nowhere near 9.5. But that's the issue, is you've got to factor in that cumulative fatigue and wear and tear and question marks over these key players. And I won't lay the points with the Storm either, because in that regard, I have kind of missed the best of the number. This line actually opened up a crazy -5.5 in some places Saturday night, but still widely available. You could have backed Melbourne -6.5 and -7.5 on Sunday. If you missed that, now you're getting the line above 8.5. And I reckon there's a chance it could go to 10. So it's a funny one for me. I feel like, and this will sound really obvious, but I'll say it anyway, this line is either too high or it's not high enough. If Penrith's still got the juice and still got the energy and can fight for 80, this line's too high. if Penrith are fatigued and just have nothing left in the tank, then this line won't be high enough. So that's what I mean by that. So I think if you're betting into this game, you've got to try and guess, and you can only really estimate it, what's Penrith got left to offer. If Penrith can play their best, they absolutely can keep it close and potentially even win the game. People are going to knock them for only scoring 2 tries last 2 weeks, both off kicks, but I'm not going to discount the Panthers' defense either. Only let in 1 try last week, and that was off a kick. When you can defend at an elite level, we see every year, you have a chance in any game if you can, you know, restrict the opponent to a low number of points. The issue not only is the energy of Penrith, but let's talk about just how good the Storm are. And it's the best attack in the competition that Penrith's going to have to try and stop. And you got Papenhuyzen, who's really returning to that early season form. You have Munster that we've seen time and time again steps up in the big games. Jerome Hughes, arguably the best season of his career. And then I think also arguably the best 2 hookers in the world both play for the Melbourne Storm. And a world-class forward pack that they play off. Not to mention your Kangaroos winger, Adokar, joins the side as well. I really look at this Melbourne side up and down, and I can't really find a weakness. I mean, I'm thinking, if I'm trying to poke any holes in their armour, it's like, well, Melbourne hasn't really trailed in many games this year, so they haven't been under pressure of having to find points. And when they were under pressure against Para a few weeks ago, they couldn't find the points. So maybe when Melbourne gets put into an arm wrestle, do they succeed? But it's not their fault that they haven't been in many arm wrestles because they've been destroying teams. Now, if you want to try and find a positive for Penrith, they've played 160 minutes of finals footy and the margin was within 6 the entire time against Souths and against Parramatta. So maybe Penrith's more battle-hardened, but, you know, in reality, this Storm team is trying to make their 5th grand final in 6 years, which is mind-blowing, and they have the experience and the big game players. For me, yeah, just what you bet on this game comes down to what you think Penrith has left to offer. I'm not sure, so I'm going to, you know, leave it alone. One last thing I'll say on the game, perhaps the fact that Penrith's been such big favourites in so many games this year, and in the 2 finals games, they were double-digit favourites. Now they come in as, you know, almost a double-digit underdog. Maybe that frees Penrith's attack up because now they're not going to play within themselves at all. They hold nothing back because they know they can't. So maybe they throw caution to the wind a little bit and know that they've just got to go for it and unleash the shackles. And that could be the potential for a cracking game of footy Saturday arvo. That's what I'll be cheering for, but without a best bet. However, we do have some bets for you on this game. Matty the Undertaker has a play. He went 1-1 last week. Let's hear what he's got for this one.
Hey guys, Matt O'Keefe with my favourite NRL finals bet this weekend. I'm going to go in the Panthers versus Storm game. Either team to win 1-12. That's $1.89 with a top-up button on TopSport. In all games that Nathan Cleary's played for the Panthers, you know, without the origin games and the injury games there, they haven't conceded more than 16 points in any of the games so far. The line's currently 9.5, which I think is getting a bit too far. But you can effectively take Penrith with a 12.5 start. If you think Penrith are never going to win 13 plus against this Melbourne team, I certainly don't. Well, you can get Panthers plus 12.5, $1.89 on Top Sport. That's my favourite play of the weekend. Should be a real close game. Low scoring, I think. Let's get it. Good luck.
And I don't disagree with that. To me, if you like Penrith, that's a really smart way to play them because I also don't see Penrith winning 13 plus. So you're effectively gaining 2 key numbers of winning on a Storm victory by 10 or 12. The Podonis also went 1-1 on his tips that he shared on the pod last week, and he's back again with an in-depth breakdown also on Storm Panthers. Let's hear his thoughts.
I think the value is with the Panthers here. I think the line is a little bit big. I know that it's hard to justify betting on a team that you've just had week 1, week 2 of the finals and they haven't covered the spread for you. So maybe that sort of has creeped into the bookmakers' thinking and the public expectation. But I still think Penrith are a great team. They're going to want to show that this week. Take nothing away from Storm. They're going to be right up for it as well. They're coming off a week off. They're a lot fresher. They've got the form on the board as well. I think Kikau is going to be playing. A lot of talk about Brian Toole. The reports coming out is that he's going to be playing at the moment, so I'm happy to stick with that and hope that that holds true. Nathan Cleary, does he still have a shoulder issue? Is that sort of seen him, his form stumble a slight bit? But look, I'm happy to trust the Panthers coaching staff that he is right, and him and Jerome Luai are going to need to step up and put on an origin-like performance here in order to give the Panthers a real shot of causing an upset. The way I look at this game, and there's been quite a lot of talk about how much is the rest worth and what is the rest. So from a spread point of view, I'll probably value the rest at around 2.5 to 3 points, especially at this in this era of the NRL with a lot of fatigue in the game and quick scoring. I think that obviously favours the Storm, and that's a superior advantage. And Penrith, don't forget, Penrith in that last round of the season against the Eels, they never gave any of their players any rest. So the counter-argument is there a bit of fatigue that's going to creep into this side late? And they did have two brutal, brutal games against South and the Eels, especially in the forward pack. That was tight, it was tense. So look, that's probably the one knock on Penrith. That's probably why we've seen this line creep out to where it was. But across the park, in the 1-17, it's pretty close. I give the slight edge in the back line, perhaps to the Storm in the outside backs. The spine, for me, is even. I think Cleary is still the best half in this game. Halves dictate and control the game and influence the result more than any other position still, even though we've seen the dominance of fullbacks in the last two seasons. And look, the bench has to go to Melbourne there, with Harry Grant and a player of that ilk in the number 14 jersey. But I think the forward packs are close and they're both going to perform at their absolute peak here. It's going to be a great game. And I think that the total perhaps is a little bit low. As you've seen so far in 2021, in the new era of NRL, the games, the scoring in games is a lot more frequent. If we look at the prelim finals, both prelim finals last year, the totals were 44.5 and 45.5 respectively. So I think at 40.5 in a day game, 4 p.m. time slot is a little bit low. So I've got two bets in this game that I'm happy to take. I've got the Panthers over 12.5 points on Bet365. That's $1.80. And then I've also got either team 1 to 12. And that can be found on Sportsbet or TopSport for $1.86. I think that's the way that I'm happy to attack this game. As we know, Penrith can lose by two converted tries and we still win that bet. We've got a superior goal kicker in Cleary, so it helps us. If we get some penalty goals, we can clear the 12.5 with only two tries. And look, I think that it's going to be a great game. And whenever I think it's going to be a great game, similar to what Jacob said in the past, it favours me to the underdog. And with a points total of 40 here, that Melbourne are going to need to score 30 to beat this spread. And the way Penrith have been defending, I think that they're going to keep the game close and they're going to give their guys a shot. So let's hope they can get to the grand final. As you know, I've got a $3.25 season bet riding on the futures here on Penrith to win. So I don't always like to take two individual best bets when I've got a futures riding. But look, I think the value's still here. Three and a half points value in this stage of the season is pretty crucial in my opinion. So happy to take it. The line was 6, then I would have left it alone. But 9.5 forces my hand. Either team 1 to 12 is the way to play it. Good luck, boys. Enjoy your footy. Hope you have a great weekend.
And there you go, guys. That's got to add to your confidence. He's got the same bet as Matty, taking either team 1 to 12. And I also don't mind his tip of Penrith over 12.5 as a team total, especially because that's on Bet365 at $1.80. Every other bookie has Penrith's team total at 14.5. So that's a significant, you know, extra 2 points you're getting on the Penrith team total. If you figure for them to get close to the Storm, they're going to need over 12 points. Let's cap this pod with Nicole from Sport Tech Daily. A couple of people rolled their eyes when he tipped Turbo to score last week. Well, hey, Turbo did get a double, so it still was a pretty nice winner. And let's hear which other try scorers his statistical model is going to tip for the prelims.
Hey everyone, hope you guys are excited for the NRL prelims this weekend. We were very close to going three left side wingers for the tips this weekend, but ended up going Alex Johnston for the Rabbitohs. Don't really need to talk about too much, but he's scored in 14 of the 20 games that he's played, so he'd be priced at $1.40 if you went off his 2021 strike rate. But you can find him at $1.90 on Neds, which we absolutely love, and the model loves it as well. The other one, now Ruben Garrick, 13 for first try scorer on Bet365. Another one, model's got him priced closer to 10 from memory. And just a great value player given how good Tommy Turbo's been this season. And the other one, we were going to go Josh Adokar, but if you take out that game where he scored 6 tries, his try scoring numbers are actually pretty close to Brandon Smith. So Brandon Smith's played 23 games, scored in 10 of them, and actually scored this first try about 7 times this year, which is ridiculous for a hooker, and I personally don't think the Panthers are going to do very well. So love the 17 for first try scorer on Brandon Smith. That's available on Sportsbet and a couple of other sites as well. So as always, guys, check out the Edge portal, check out our posts that we do before every NRL game, and all the best if you're punting on the weekend on the prelims.
Thanks, Nicole. I can't argue with Johnston. You guys know I like the Souths this week. And look, what I'll say about Brandon Smith, the amount of tries he's scored this season for the position he plays, absolutely ridiculous. Certainly hard to stop that Wombat burrowing over from dummy half close to the Lions. So good luck if you're jumping on that. Good luck if you're jumping on any of the celebs' tips. And thank you to those boys for not only sharing their tips on the pod, but contributing to the group each and every week. Just on a side note, this Racing Spring Carnival has begun. And if you're into racing, we've actually got a preview show that's going to be coming out Fridays on the Tripod Facebook page. I'm not involved in it. I'm not someone who's an expert in that field, but it is going to be a really exciting show. And I can't say anything more about it. But if you're interested, just jump on the Tripod page or group Friday evening and have a look at that. As always, enjoy the games this weekend. Good luck with any bets you make. Let us know your thoughts, your tips about or for the games or anything that I've said tonight that you agree or disagree with. Gamble responsibly and leggo.